Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, I am introducing a new company to the show and a relatively new company to the markets as well. The company is TDG Gold Corp. Trade on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol TDG. Now, Shad and I are chatting with the president and CEO, Fletcher Morgan. Fletcher, as this is your first time on the show, please just give a little introduction to yourself, and then we will get into some of the projects, please.
Hey there. Thanks very much. My name is Fletcher Morgan. I'm very pleased to be here today. As mentioned, I'm the CEO, director, and an owner of TDG Gold Corp. But firstly, can I just say that I'm also a white settler of English ancestry, living as a guest on unceded lands of the Coast Salish peoples, including the Musqueam, Squamish, and the Tsleil-Waututh. So my background is I'm a scientist by training. For the last 20 years, I've made a career out of managing teams of scientists. I got involved in the precursor to TDG as a private company in 2018, pivoted it with the chair of our company, Andrew French, to start focusing on the Tuutagon district of north central BC. And then we were listed in December 2020 last year, trading under the ticker TDG. And along the way, as part of that listing event, we actually managed to acquire three brownfield former producing assets from Talisker Resources in a strategic transaction where they're now our partners. You know, they've got board representation, significant ownership of our company, but also are, you know, providing advice on an ongoing basis, Terry Harbert and his team. And we're really excited because we made a major announcement, which I know we're going to talk about.
Yes, absolutely. Now, again, the company initially launched here with some of these projects in the Tuutagon. So that's in north central BC, just outside of the Golden Triangle, also known as kind of the Golden Horseshoe area. But there was a recent deal announced June 29th, just on Tuesday, that is, I think, a real company changer here, as the company has agreed to acquire this Nueva Esperanza silver and gold project. It's in the Maricunga Belt in Chile. Now, this is an advanced stage exploration and development project. You're acquiring this from Kingsgate Consolidated. That's an Australian miner. This project is advanced. Again, there was a PFS released back in 2016. Fletcher, give us just a little intro into this project and what attracted you and your team to make this significant deal.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, as you mentioned, we announced it yesterday. Kingsgate Consolidated acquired the assets back in between 2009-2011 from a combination of Anglo-American and Kinross. They progressed these, as you mentioned, through actually a JORC-compliant feasibility study in 2014, an optimized study in 2016, and have made various resource updates along the way. And in as recently as July 2020, they actually managed to get the EIA, the Environmental Impact Assessment, awarded, which effectively clears the runway for this project to be put into construction. However, for various reasons, Kingsgate has been focused more on the events surrounding its producing assets in Thailand. And so this has become not an orphan asset, but it's certainly something that they wanted to see put into the right hands of a company that can drive it forwards and get it back on track to where they believe it ought to be, namely a production decision by 2024. And as a company, certainly if you look at what we've managed to achieve with our Tuutagon brownfield assets, this is right on strategy for us. It plays to all of our strengths as a young a company, but being led by experienced individuals. We've put a team together that's able to take projects that have that this kind of potential and to obviously then move them forwards to by getting them back in, whether it be in the Tuutagon. There were brownfield assets, former producing mines. We had to obviously get it everything back into compliance, which we've managed to do, get the mining lease extended. We've just achieved that on our Tuutagon assets as well with First Nations support. So this is the kind of thing we're used to doing. And what's so attractive about this asset is what you mentioned. We're not starting from scratch. There's been over 279,000 meters of historical drilling on this property. It's well understood. It's well characterized. And what we're looking forward to doing is accelerating the project as rapidly as possible back to a 43-101 feasibility study, which we're targeting by the end of 2022. And then, as I mentioned, a production decision by 2024. So the other attractions of this asset, it's silver biased. It's around 65 to 35 ratio silver to gold, pure play silver gold. So there's no lead or zinc credits to mention. There is exploration upside around the permitted footprint. However, you know, and I know we'll get into this, there are some reasons why it doesn't make sense to pursue that exploration, certainly not in the very near term. But also then, the opportunity in Chile gives us seasonality, the complementary seasonality with our work in the Tutugón. Our season in the Tutugón kind of runs from May through to the end of October. Yes, we can winterize, but that's very challenging for a company of our size, whereas we can now shift the team and the focus of the company in November to exploration and advanced exploration in Chile, in the Maricunga. It's in the Primo district of Chile, and also comes with access to water rights, which are really important in Chile. But the power line is the high voltage power line is 27 kilometers away. So what attracted us to this opportunity is it's a project that's got the grade, it's got the historical resources, it's got the permits, it's got the water rights, it's got the infrastructure, but it was also tucked away in an Australian company. The project had never come to the North American market before. But if you look at the sort of comparable companies that we're going to now be shoulder to shoulder with, certainly in our area within the Maricunga, Kinross is looking to restart its La Coipa mine. You've got Goldfields Solaris Norte to the north. But also, you know, other companies that are advancing assets through to, you know, production decisions. So we're in very good company with an excellent asset, and it's just a fabulous starting point, and we believe will be accretive to our shareholders, but also all our stakeholders over the next, two to 3 years as we rapidly advance it back to that production decision.
Well, Fletcher, there's no doubt it's a transformational asset for the company. And it's something that a lot of investors are going to perk up and see. So before we move over to the Golden Horseshoe properties, can you walk us through just on a high level what kind of work you're going to be doing on the project moving forward? If your goal is to get in production by 2024, what steps does the company have to take now? What's the initial work program going to be in the near future? And then what's the medium-term roadmap to get into production in 2 or 3 years?
Okay, so the first thing that investors will note is that we're going to be publishing a 43-101 resource report. So yes, this has had, as recently as 2016, a JORC pre-feasibility study published on it, and investors can go and read about those. We put links in our slide deck in the news release, but you can go and read that public domain information regarding the PFS. However, we need to get it across to 43-101 compliance, and that takes time and effort. And so the first thing was to get it back to a resource stage. We should have that out in the coming weeks. And then from there, to accelerate it to a PEA, which, as you're aware, is more of a desktop exercise. There's a wealth of knowledge and understanding of this project, so we're confident in that. And then from there, to get it through to feasibility, 43-101 feasibility by the end of 2022. And we don't think that's unrealistic. In order to do that, we are probably going to have to undertake some more drilling, some diamond drilling. We know, obviously, from the recompilation and assessment analysis that's been undertaken through us by Moose Mountain Technical Services, Sue Bird and her team, we know what we're going to have to do in that regard. And so our ambition would be to get the drills turning at Nueva as soon as possible, so somewhere around November, December time, and to obviously complete whatever additional work is required by the end of the season in Chile around April next year. And then that gives us then the clear runway to actually be able to assess everything and publish that feasibility, which we're targeting for the end of 2022. Now, clearly beyond that, there will be additional work required to get it back to that production decision. But again, we're not starting from scratch. And obviously that work will be informed by all of the results and analysis that comes out in 2022. So we're not expecting it to be expensive. to get back to feasibility study. We're anticipating drilling in the region of $5 million worth of work. Most of these are shallow holes. And working in these kind of conditions, certainly in the season, we're not anticipating any additional costs. It's road accessible. And, you know, all of the features that should make this a relatively straightforward, set of tasks that we've got to fulfill.
Okay, let's also talk a little bit more about this deal, because look, the company coming into this transaction held a market cap of around $30 million, a little bit more than $30 million, I believe. And this deal, again, transformational in the sense that it's $25 million upon signing, 14% of TDG stock, and that is after a financing that is also announced within that news release where the company is planning to raise a minimum of $35 million, plus there's another $25 million in future payments. Take us through the structure of this deal then, please, Fletcher.
Yeah, for sure. So what we've managed to achieve is a win-win deal with Kingsgate that addressed their requirement to receive a significant portion of cash up front, but also then our requirement to be able to then stage the balance of the cash and potential share payments based on success advancing the project back to production decision, construction, and into commercial production. So you can roughly split it down the middle and say it's $25 million on signing, plus that 14% of equity on a post-financing, post-transaction basis. And then the residual $25 million of cash, of which some can be paid in shares, would be on performance milestones. So the first being on the feasibility study, where we'd have to pay another 6.25 million Canadian. These are all Canadian dollars, by the way, within 3 months of publication of that feasibility study. Another 5 million cash at construction decision. And then 5 million cash or 10 million shares at the 12-month production anniversary. And then the final balance of the 25 million, which is 8.75 million Canadian at 24 months. At the 24-month production anniversary. So we think we've managed to sculpt a deal that addresses the requirements of Kingsgate up front with the requirement to, you know, balance off the need to raise additional dollars and make those payments with the success that we anticipate we should be able to deliver from the project. So yes, it's a large amount. We're an ambitious group. You know, I'm surrounded by a leadership team and now an advisory team that I think is the envy of all $30 million juniors. If you look at our board, we've got Andrew French, who for the last 20, 25 years has been a buy-side analyst for some of the largest institutions, precious metal-focused institutions in North America. Currently, he's the buy-side analyst based in North America for the Swiss Gold 2000 Fund. We've got Terry Harbert, who is a structural geologist, PhD. He's the CEO of Talisker Resources, which, as I'm sure some of your listeners are familiar, is affiliated with the Osisko Mining Group. We've also now, as part of this transaction, come into orbit with Stephen Quinn, former CEO of Midas Gold, Jim Zadra, former CFO of Great Panther Mining. So hopefully your listeners will realize that we are putting together a team, an advisory group that is very comfortable taking juniors of $100 million plus to the, you know, to certainly north of $300 to $400 million, up to $500 million. This company has been launched based on its Toodoggone assets and the opportunity that presents, but at a price that is, comparable with companies that are a lot more advanced. They've got a lot higher market cap than us. Why? Because we believe that it's important to offer deep value opportunities all the way along. I'm an owner myself. I pay cash for every share, and this is effectively, you could look at this as another IPO round for this company. Such is the transformation that will bring about. It's very early stages. When would listeners normally get given that kind of opportunity? Only really if they were involved in something pre-IPO. I would put out there. And so it's a fabulous opportunity to get involved in the very early stages of what we are trying to create here, which is a premium silver gold company with an enviable collection of brownfield, advanced exploration into development assets.
Well, Fletcher, there's absolutely a lot going on with the company. And as you said, it's kind of like a new IPO for you with this new project. But let's circle back around to the initial projects that launched the company on the first IPO. And those are the Tutagon assets in the British Columbia in the Golden Horseshoe area, which is obviously an emerging trend near the Golden Triangle. You have two main projects there, the Shasta Mine and the Baker Mine. Could you briefly walk our audience through what are these brownfield projects that I believe have had prior production, and what is the company's plans to work on them for the balance of the year?
Yeah, absolutely. And what your listeners may not appreciate is, yes, it is an area that's associated with the Golden Triangle. It's to the east of it, but it does have a history of historical production, mainly small scale, high grade. But our assets are in what we refer to as the Tutagon Production Corridor. And this is a road connected 60 kilometer stretch that runs from the Kemess former producing mine, which is owned by Centerra. The road runs up past a major airstrip called the Sturdy Airstrip, which is where they flew in all of the the equipment that they used in the former production, past our Shasta mine, which you've mentioned, past our former producing Baker mine, up past through Benchmark's property, which is the lawyer's project where they recently announced a 2.9 million ounce maiden resource estimate. And the road currently runs as far as our small third mining lease, which is called the Metz project. And that's actually right in the middle of Thesis Gold's ground, which is the Ranch project. And so just to focus in on Shasta, Shasta, as I mentioned, is a former producing mine. It operated small scale, high grade. It operated as recently as 2012, and it's the same mineral type as you see at Benchmark Lawyers property, Thesis Gold's Ranch property, and also our Metz mining lease. So it's quartz carbonate hosted in its classic epithermal veins with associated stockwork, and it's fault controlled. There was over 29,000 meters of historical drilling that we've managed to recompile. One of the interesting aspects about the former production, and it's certainly the exploration related to it, is that the companies that were operating knew exactly what they were looking for. And as I mentioned, in the case of Shasta, it's fault controlled. So they were drilling from the surface. These are shallow holes. They would hit the fault, and they knew then that the pay zone was in the footwall. The high grade and the ultra high grade. And then what they were doing was drifting two and a half meter by 3 meter drifts, chasing the veins and running small scale production through the Baker Mill, which is still in situ. It runs at just under, or sorry, it ran at 200 tons per day. So small scale, it's in good shape. It's under care and maintenance. We're not small scale miners, but in the 1990s, as far back then, it was noted that around these high grade and ultra high grade epithermal veins was the potential for disseminated mineralization, halo style mineralization at medium and lower grades. And that is exactly what Benchmark has then successfully gone on to demonstrate. And what we've done with Shasta, and it's not a vanity project for us, we do believe that we could make it into a significant resource, higher than the target range that we've already published, which is, just under 1 million ounces to just under 1.5 million ounces. But what we're seeking with Shasta, as I've mentioned, and it's a theme for our company, is to rapidly advance things back towards a production decision. And in the case of Shasta, what we've therefore done is taken that 29,000 meters of historical drilling. We've handed it over to Moose Mountain Technical Services, and we're reverse engineering this project back to a production decision as rapidly as possible. So the drill program this year at Shasta, the phase one is just under 4,000 meters, and that is absolutely targeted at confirming the historical model. as well as testing some of the known extensions around the historical mine workings, and then also testing for continuity of the mineralization between the historically identified zones. And Shasta is a very well-known, it's a nice, discrete, relatively small, so 800 meters by 1500 meters of mineralized footprint. And so we're operating within that. And our phase one drill program of just under 4,000 meters, the majority of holes are very shallow, and it's all within the permitted mine area. And Shasta falls within, it's covered by a mining lease. The mining lease was recently extended to 2050. So we have a 30-year runway to get this thing back into production. And within that, overlapping that is actually a permitted mine area. And within that permitted mine area, we can do certain things without requiring additional permits, such as drill. And so that phase one drilling is entirely within that permitted mine area. The drill is arriving today. And all things equal, the drill will start turning around the in the next week or so. And that program has been configured and through a combination of our in-house team analyzing the data, working with Moose Mountain to make sure that we can then get to a 43-101 resource on the back of that drilling, just that 4,000 meters. And we're anticipating publishing that in the first half of next year. We're shooting for Q1 of next year. And then from there, we anticipate moving towards a PEA as rapidly as possible at Shasta.
All right, Fletcher, we're going to have to wrap it up here. That's a lot to take in for our listeners. There's a lot going on with this company, especially after that recent announcement, the letter of intent to acquire the new project down, the Nueva Esperanza project. Look, if anybody has any follow-up questions, please email us either fleck@kereport.com or shad@kereport.com. We'll get those answered for you, and we will also follow up with Fletcher to try to dive a bit more into some of these individual projects and, again, the work plans for those. Fletcher, I appreciate your time. Thank you for this intro, and we'll chat again soon.
Thank you very much.